This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
RJ Choppy is very, very worked up for this week's edition of the NFL Power Rankings here on your home of the Cowboys and Texas Rangers. In case you did not know, 105.3 The Fan. It's a Meat Church Wednesday, so Matt Pittman will join us to get your turkeys ready at 8:20, below the belt at 8:40. You guys need to grade out from last week, and how far have the Cowboys fallen nationally? Let's start with you all's records.
All right, so last week, Bobby had Detroit,
yep,
Baltimore, Washington, nope, Buffalo, Philadelphia.
What's that record?
4-1.
4-1.
Peyton had Detroit, mm-hmm, Kansas City, mm-hmm, Buffalo, Baltimore, Philadelphia.
Oh, perfect.
Pey-pey, well done.
And I had Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo, Baltimore, Washington.
4-1. Peyton Russell,
the champ, baby,
is your NFL Power Ranking winner.
Yeah, why didn't you text us? I offered you a chance to text your rankings in last week, and you passed.
Yeah, I passed. I'm not sitting there like you, cutting audio and doing my off-air power rankings to send into the program. No, not happening. All right, how far have the Cowboys fallen?
They're pretty bad, but not bad enough. When you look at where they've fallen in the across the six different power ranking outlets that we look at nationally, everybody's got them between 23 and 25, and that's not low enough, I don't think.
It's pretty low.
I know, but no, but we were sitting there doing a topic. Are they one of the three or four worst teams in the league? And that says no.
If you have Dallas outside of your bottom five, it's some sort of just courtesy, I feel like, to what they've been the last few years.
Because talent-wise, like, their talent's probably better than bottom five. Like, they've got better talent.
Right now, with the injuries?
Well, I mean,
yes.
Yes.
I don't think they do have...
They have better talent than the Raiders. They have better talent than Carolina. They have better talent than the Giants.
I don't know that I agree with that on the Giants or the Raiders.
Do you watch any football?
No. Yeah.
They have better talent than New England.
What were you, 12-5? You were 11-6 for Dallas. Who's the only one who picked him below 500? Thank you.
That was
you were doing.
No, that's a big win for him.
It's not. It's a fake. It's like somebody who picks the Cowboys when they were 5-11 area. They would pick them to go 10-6 just to be on the off chance they were right. You were doing it for Mike McCarthy.
Choppy always trying to deny people's victories since the last 4 years.
Oh, I see what you did there.
So between 23 and 25, universally, that's where everybody's got them.
Peyton Russell, you get to choose this week. Would you like to start 1-5 or 5-1 since you are the defending champ?
I would like to go 1-5.
Good. I like that. Yes. You start us off.
I thought about this, but not really, but then thought about it again. I have Detroit staying at number one. I mean, I think it said more about the Texans than it said Detroit, about that how the Texans had blown the lead. I mean, look, the Lions won a game when Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. That's not going to happen often, but that's a really good Lions team, and they're 8-1 now, and I have them at number one.
I also have Detroit number one. Za'Darius Smith did not play. Let's see how much he can help in replacing Aiden.
but I'm going Lions number one. You could ding them for just being down. Maybe you think it's a lucky comeback, but they did come back, and they did it on the road in the armpit.
I mean, they were lucky. I mean, that's fair, right? You know, when you have five interceptions, the other team didn't take advantage of it. Now, some of that's because they stepped up defensively.
I actually think that's the opposite of luck. That they were like, they honestly didn't do anything crazy. Nothing too crazy in that game happened for them to come back. They shut Houston down. Like, it wasn't a tip pick. It wasn't a bad bounce. It wasn't a this or that. They like shut down the Texans offense, which Bobby has said has disappeared in the second half this year. We'll see what happens Monday night against us.
So I thought I said on the broadcast, or maybe I read this, that the reason Zedarius didn't play is because he hasn't had his bye. And the Detroit Lions have already had their bye.
Oh, we were going to get an 18-game season out of him if he didn't rest.
And then they were like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Oh.
So I wonder how.
He's like 40.
Sounds pretty soft.
Yeah. It does seem soft. I kept Kansas City here. They're lucky. They are. But on a neutral field, I would still pick them to beat the Lions money line. Not against the spread. Money line. I would still pick them to beat anybody on a neutral field.
I think that is the first time RJ has, like, acknowledged overall, Kansas City's just a lucky football team right now. So I'm proud of you for at least doing that. All right.
You're lucky.
Number one is Detroit. Detroit's the best team in football, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Pepe.
Number two was a business decision for me. I put Buffalo there. I dropped Kansas City. Woo! I mean, I know Kansas City is undefeated, but I mark that as a loss. I really do. I know. I'm listening to Bobby and Sean here.
I love you, Peyton.
I'm finally coming along with things. But, yeah, I put Buffalo there. And this week, if you look at the schedule, Buffalo hosts the Chiefs. They're 2-point favorites right now. Buffalo is. So I put Buffalo at number two.
I wanted to shake things up a little bit this week. I don't even have Buffalo in my top five.
Oh, whoa.
I don't believe. By the way, because, you know, I have to keep track of the petty scoreboard. Amari inactive for the second straight week. And it's going to get ready to get colder there in Buffalo. My weather person tells me. Amari has appeared in two games for the Bills since arriving in a trade. He's dealing with a wrist injury, but he missed his second straight. And I am not buying this little Buffalo Bills win streak. Not in my top five.
Mm. So who do you have it to?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I thought that was my hot take point, and I was just going to sit back on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
I have Kansas City at two. Bobby just made a face. By the way, look at Buffalo's winning streak here. They didn't beat the Texans. They lost to the Texans by three. They beat the Jets, Titans, Seahawks, Dolphins, Colts. There's nothing impressive about that whatsoever. Kansas City for me is two. Sorry, Bob. I don't think they're a great team. I think it speaks more about the league.
Right. I have Detroit at two. I think they're truly the best roster. One, they have the best to me. They are the only team, I think, that even has a chance to beat Kansas City in the playoffs. It would obviously be in the Super Bowl. Their win, it was a bad game against Houston. They still won with a quarterback who threw five picks. They made big plays down the stretch. He did. They did. That Super Bowl or bust, Detroit at two.
Number two for me is a team that I have not moved. My top two has stayed the same, I think, the last few weeks. It is the Baltimore Ravens, who, again, I think Baltimore and Detroit, it's fine when you win narrow margins every now and then.
Every now and then.
When the Kansas City thing happens every week, that's the problem to me, is that when you're not beating on teams. Baltimore has been dominant for several stretches. Detroit, same sort of way. So when you do show me the high character of being able to win tough football games like that, that matters in those pockets. And so, big win over Cincinnati.
I would like to get in on this. We do a lot of yapping on the show about bets that we actually don't follow through with. $100 that the Chiefs make it to the AFC Championship game or more. You get to pick.
Well, I can't bet money on things into a microphone, Sean.
I forgot. Mm. All right.
But, I mean, we could call it something else.
A wager?
It wouldn't be money. It would be...
If you could bet, what money amount would you put on it?
I'm being serious. On the Chiefs being where?
Not making it to the AFC Championship game.
So they basically only have to win one playoff game.
That's what you said a couple weeks ago.
If I was allowed to, I would put, realistically, $250.
Okay. I'll talk to you in the commercial break.
Number three for me. I did drop the Kansas City Chiefs from 2 to 3. Look, they're 9-0. They're undefeated. I mean, look, you're 9-0 in the NFL. You're still a great team.
This is amazing how your judgment system changed. It is amazing.
He literally I got did it into it. Just for the rankings. That's it. Because he thinks Buffalo's going to win.
Yeah.
And he wants to get credit for the victory.
Weasel.
But I mean, like, that's how the game's played. That's how we have a point system. That's how we got to do it. So I have Kansas City at number three here.
Number three for me is Baltimore. I could make the argument they should be two over Kansas City, but I'll keep the Ravens there at number three.
Ooh, man. I had initially Buffalo here, but then I'm like, wait a second. They got worked by the Ravens. But I don't care. The selection committee last night said the games don't matter, and I'm going to say the games don't matter either.
That's why, I mean, that's your criteria every week with Kansas City at one.
I will say this. Buffalo, I think, is a better team than Baltimore, but Baltimore would absolutely destroy Buffalo every time they play. It's a terrible matchup for them. I think Baltimore and Buffalo, those two teams play. Baltimore is going to win that game. I think Buffalo will finish the year with a better record. So I have Buffalo there at three. I don't think Buffalo is remotely even a threat to Kansas City in the AFC. I don't think there is a threat to Kansas City.
So you're going to bet Chiefs big this weekend?
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs. I assume so. Two is not a good number, though. I don't like two.
Around the NFL power rankings every hump day here on Sean and RJ.
Really quickly,
look at Teddy Bruschi. The Chiefs don't focus on identity. They focus on winning.
Okay. All right, Teddy.
Why is he still on TV? Get him off TV.
If that is not a Chris Russo type statement right there, my gosh.
Really quickly, I'm curious, because if Detroit had won their game against Tampa and Kansas City lost their opener against Baltimore, would you have Detroit number one right now? Or would you still have it Kansas City?
I think Kansas City would beat Detroit.
Okay.
I still think they would beat Detroit.
I was just seeing if you were giving them 9-0 credit for no reason. All right, the next team on my list is, we're moving them up. It's the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, yeah, you're right that if you look at, you know, their list of teams that they've beaten recently, it hasn't been super impressive. But it's also like you can only beat who you have in front of you at the moment. if you look at the way they've played in terms of how they're winning games, in terms of choppy, we talk about the EPA. Mm-hmm. If you look at the NFL tiers and the combo of EPA on offense and defense, Buffalo is pretty far ahead in terms of comboing those two up and being a quality team. So I've got Buffalo three.
I thought about dropping Baltimore, but I left them at number four. I mean, look, the win against the Bengals was great, but the Bengals had a 21-7 lead on the road in the third quarter of that game. If it wasn't for a Chase Brown fumble, you know, that led, you know, to Derrick Henry touchdown, led Baltimore to get back in the game. I respect the comeback. I thought about dropping Baltimore, but I'll leave them at number four.
Number four for me is a team that has been slept on in this room throughout the league. And the play-by-play voice of CBS kept talking about it over and over and over again on Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles are number four
this
for me. They're loaded. The greatness of Kellen Moore, according to Bobby, pushing them over the top. Kellen Moore and the Philadelphia Eagles for me are number four.
All right, sir. Mm. Number four. Got that noted. Got that written down.
Brilliant take.
Number four for me.
It is. You should have been here last week when I had Philly in my top five already.
Oh.
Number four for me is Baltimore. And something scares me about Baltimore. Like,
their quarterback?
They're not great defensively.
No, I mean, they almost blew it to the Cowboys. They lose the Chiefs.
They didn't almost blow it to the Cowboys.
I mean, it did get down to three. Like, that was, they didn't almost blow it, but they, you know what I mean? Like, they let them back in. They blew it to the Raiders. They should have lost to the Bengals. Maybe twice. They beat the Bengals by a combined 4 points. They should have lost that game. Just something scares me about them. Like, they're good, but it's almost like they just sometimes fall asleep defensively.
The Mavericks in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they really are. So I have Baltimore at four.
Nobody has allowed more passing yards in the NFL this year than the Baltimore Ravens, by the way.
Wow.
Number four is, Sean's right, it's the Philadelphia Eagles, who are, you know, we had the note that they are twice now in the last month. They've allowed fewer than 50 net passing yards, which seems absolutely impossible no matter who you're going up against, even if it's Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones. So defensively, their biggest weakness last year, the thing that kept killing them was the fact that, other than Nick Sirianni, was the fact that their secondary was just awful and they couldn't defend the pass. They've pretty much righted that ship, fixed that, and offensively they've found themselves in rhythm. So I got Philadelphia at number four.
And I have Philadelphia number five. I think they're the one team that can actually beat the Lions, have a chance to beat the Lions in the NFC. I think they're the only team that challenges them. When healthy, they're one of the best rosters in the NFC, close to the top of the NFL. But I have the Eagles at number five.
This hurts. This was painful. I hate this team.
Oh, no.
I hate.
Oh, my God.
I hate this organization.
Asia.
I hate the quarterback.
Danger!
And that is why I could not put the Pittsburgh Steelers 5. The forgotten about again. Green Bay Packers are sitting there at number 5 for me. I had Pittsburgh written down. I said, I'm forgetting. I need help. I can't do it. And I have to slide Green Bay in there. Pittsburgh, I almost did it, but they've beaten the Raiders, the Jets, the Giants, and the Commanders. That's nothing.
Commanders
except for the Commanders. Commanders used to be up there. I'm starting to question the offense a little bit. Choppy seeping in with the influence. Okay. Green Bay Packers, number 5 for me. So that is the final insertion of my rankings.
All right, and I have Philadelphia at 5. I got nothing out of that win over the Cowboys other than the fact that good teams beat up on bad teams on the road or at home. That's what happened. Hurts is better than he was last year, that's for sure. I easily could have gone with Pittsburgh, and I considered it. I considered Pittsburgh. I'm starting to have to give a little bit of respect, but I'm with you. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Could not do it. So I have Philly at 5.
Everybody hates it because he is so cringy. Oh, he is the Jason Tatum of the NFL, but Russell Wilson is playing decent football right now. Russell Wilson, the longest active streak of consecutive games with a touchdown pass, 22 in a row, the longest streak in the NFL right now. If you look at Pittsburgh, 3 of their 4 best performances in terms of offensive EPA in a game this year have been the last 3 weeks with Russell Wilson starting again. And so they're playing well offensively with Russell Wilson in there. George Pickens looks like a different player with him in there. And defensively, they've been strong. So you beat the Commanders in that game. Commanders were in my top 5. It pushes you up to the top. So I've got Pittsburgh 5.
So I have 1 Detroit, 2 Buffalo, 3 Kansas City, 4 Baltimore, 5 Philly.
Lions, Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles, Packers.
Kansas City, Detroit, Buffalo, Baltimore, Philly.
Lions, Ravens, Bills, Eagles, Steelers.
D-Lo, the belt coming up at 8:40 from our Cowboys insider. But let's start getting you ready for those turkeys. I'm starving. It is a Meat Church Wednesday, and Matt Pittman joins us next to get your barbecue game right on 105.3 The Fan.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is, thankfully, perfect timing, a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, joins us every other hump day here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, 105.3 The Fan, and he was sending us a ton of videos Sunday in Arlington from Tolos, who stopped him and said that they tune in for this segment. Is that right, Matt? You were getting the love out there at AT&T?
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool. I was walking in from our lot, and there's a section where, like, just a bunch of people tailgate that don't go in the game. And, I mean, it's good for my ego because I kept getting stopped by people. But there were so many of them that kept saying they were Tolos. And they listened. I was like, all right, hold on. We got to record this. So that's why I did that to send y'all. And then it happened in the game quite a bit as well. So shout out to all those guys that are if they're listening today.
That's awesome. I love the text message you sent. I was at the game, but I didn't watch it at all. I was blinded by the light and the loudness of the Philly crowd. How often do you notice the sun issue when you're in there?
Definitely. It's on the other end of the stadium from where I sit. But, I mean, you definitely can see it. And then, you know, we've thought about it a lot because there's a lot of afternoon games on the schedule this year. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely can see it. People have obviously been talking about it for a really long time. So, yeah, we can see it.
Was that as many visiting fans that you can recall there, or is there another invasion that sticks out in your mind of visiting fans?
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, the reason I text you that, I mean, I'm always an observer of what's going on. And, you know, people have always traveled well here. And I've been told by teams that aren't, like, you know, you got your Chiefs and Packers and people that always bring a ton. But we started to see, you know, other teams that were bringing so many fans. And I talked to, like, Titans when they weren't good. And they're like, oh, we want to come see the stadium. But this week was a unique perspective. So I was doing the Celebrity Chef event in the AT&T Club. Well, so I can't even see the game. And all of a sudden, you know, the crowd would go crazy. I'm like, sweet, we scored. I mean, when I say go crazy, I'm talking about like a roar, like we, you know, we definitely scored. So I run out and look, and it would be like the Eagles recovering a fumble. I'm like, oh my God. So it was weird for me to hear it that loud. You know, that was just a different perspective than I was used to. So they definitely were there.
All right, before we get to all turkey, all the time with Thanksgiving coming up, you got to tell us what you made for the game on Sunday, because I love this. I know it set off a lot of Eagle fans. I know, and Cooper Sharp was involved. Cooper Rush, Cooper Sharp. What did you make?
Yeah, so I wanted to make. I chose the Eagles game to make a cheesesteak. And first off, let me tell you that I always say that cheesesteaks, chili, crawfish, and buffalo wings are the top four items that when you make it, people claim it's not authentic if you weren't from there. You don't know what you're doing, right? So obviously, I'm pretty well traveled in food, and I wanted to pay respect, and so. Did a bunch of homework, actually was supposed to go to Geno's in Philly to shoot with them prior to this. Didn't work out for reasons on my end, but I made what I called a not a Philly cheesesteak. Stayed as authentic as possible, but with my twist. So instead of using ribeye, we smoked brisket, chilled it, and then sliced it super thin. Wow. So started out with really cold smoked brisket. And the main thing, if you want to make an authentic cheesesteak, it's with Cooper Sharp. A lot of people think there's Cheese Whiz. That's kind of an old thing. But Cooper Sharp really gets the respect. A bunch of my Philly buddies say that's the way to go. So I brought it in, and then we smoked it. So, you know, it was a brisket cheesesteak with onions sautéed in butter mixed into the meat along with shredded Cooper Sharp cheese. Mm. We topped it with some more, put it on a fresh Italian hoagie. And it honestly was so good that my team was like, we got to make this a thing for us all the time. It was a huge hit. And, hey, the biggest thing was the Eagles fans that came to buy it and gave us respect, and even online. Like, of course, I got ripped up for my allegiance to my team, but there were hardly any negative comments about the cheesesteak from a Philly perspective, which that's a first for us.
Matt Pittman, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, joining us here on a Meat Church Wednesday. Now for the turkeys. Selection process. I haven't gotten mine yet, and I'm starting to get a little bit worried.
You're going to cook, huh?
Kristen Panic bought. She bought the turkey like last week, and she was like, I was worried they were all going to get sold out.
I know. So that's my worry, and I'm like, do I buy it now, Matt, and freeze it? Like, what's the process for the turkey buying, when, where, and how to select? I know how to finally pick a brisket now. Does it matter that much with the turkey?
Yeah, it's a good question. And one of the reasons you want to worry about it now, you know, this far in advance of Thanksgiving, you got to make a decision. Do you want to just buy your standard frozen turkey, which I'm going to say is typically fine for most people, or do you want to buy a fresh turkey? And if you want to buy a fresh turkey, you know, the supply gets limited. You're not going to want to hold it in your fridge this long if you buy it now. So you would have to freeze it, which kind of negates the point of it being fresh. But, you know, turkeys go on sale soon. They're super cheap. I will tell you what I do. I think one of the most important things I can tell people is try to source a turkey that's 12 to 13 pounds. Mm. If you're feeding 2-3 families and you are tempted to go buy a 20-plus pound turkey, don't do it. Buy two 12s. because first off, it's going to take you all day to cook it. But by the time you get those huge turkeys cooked, there are parts that just frankly aren't as good. So I highly, highly recommend buying 212s. Wow. And you'll be good to go. But honestly, I think a standard turkey works generally. I mean, you certainly can really get picky on it, but I think 99% of people just go buy whatever is on sale leading up to Thanksgiving.
What are we talking turkey time for 12 to 13 so that you time it out perfectly? And what about a rest period for the bird?
Yeah, all right, so I'll talk about that. But before I tell you that, I'll tell you that when you go buy a turkey, allow yourself, you know, 5 days to let it slack in the fridge. So if you get it frozen, it's 5 days to put in the fridge to thaw. Oh. And then when you cook it, we drop a spatchcock turkey recipe today. Which, by the way, that's my favorite word to say in all of outdoor cooking. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, the children are cracking up in here.
What are you talking about, the guys in the studio or the guys listening on radio?
The guys in the studio, the children.
Does that come with a monster load like last time?
Wow. Well,
we'll talk about injecting here in a second.
So today's video, I call out several times that the 12-pound turkey at 275 degrees took 3 hours to cook. I will say that I suggest people budget a little more time because I'm guilty of always being late for dinner. Like, we always do like a 2 o'clock late lunch, and I swear we're not getting to the table till 3 because I'm running behind on something. So I budget a little more time. I say you've got to rest it at least 30 minutes. I also frequently mention that Gordon Ramsay recommends you rest turkey as long as you cooked it. So if it took 3 hours to cook, rest for 3 hours. I've never been able to go that long just because, cools off. Yeah, and I don't like that. Now, there's people that are okay with that. Like, you know, there's people that buy these Greenberg turkeys and they sit out forever. And like, that's just not my thing. But if it's your preference, you certainly can let it rest that long. But you've got to let it rest at least 30 minutes.
All right. Brining, injecting, frying, smoking. Give us all the different options, Matt.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my favorite time of year. We spend so much time on turkey content, and I'm not just saying that because we're on the radio right now. That truly is our differentiator from us and a lot of other people. So, you know, I have 20 different turkey recipes on meatchurch.com over 20? All these techniques.
How can you make 20, turkey 20 different ways?
Well, you stuff it.
Well, 19 comes out today, and then 20 is actually next week. And a couple of them are similar. Like, you know, there's turkey breast 3 different ways, things like that. But by and large, you know, let's talk the moisture part up front. You either have to brine it or inject it if you want to do that. And that would mean you either have to do a wet brine or dry brine. There's a smaller percentage of people that dry brine. That's where you're going to salt your turkey, put it in your fridge, like out of the package on a wire rack for, you know, a day, basically, before you cook it. That it actually is a really good technique. It browns up really beautifully. It is not my preferred way. I do like it. I've done it at Thanksgiving for my family, and so I don't hate it. But I just love a wet brine, and we do sell a brine. That's not why I'm telling you to do
it. It is a great brine.
It's, I mean, honest to God, the number one thing I hear from our customers when I travel the country and meet people, I mean, I'm talking June in Florida. Hey, man, love your recipes. Made your Thanksgiving turkey with your brine. It was the best ever. It's by far and away the number one thing I hear. I mean, I'd rather be known as a brisket guy, but, you know.
You and your poultry, you're the man.
Yeah, exactly. So I love a wet brine. It's easy to make. You know, you just got to do it the day before. I heat up the brine, let it completely cool off. Put it in a food safe container. I use a Yeti loadout bucket just because I like it. And then, you know, dump the turkey in it, completely cover it with liquid. You got to brine at least 1 hour a pound. I just tell people do it overnight and you'll be good to go. And so that's kind of my preferred method. And then when it comes to cooking, you know, again, today's video is spatchcocking where you remove the backbone so the turkey lays flat. It helps it cook quicker and more evenly because you don't have the breast, you know, higher up in the cooker.
Yeah. Mm.
So it cooks quicker, more evenly, and I think it looks really pretty on a platter when you pull it off. So, you know, pretty good method. And, you know, my videos show you exactly how to remove that backbone. It's not a big deal, and it's pretty easy.
You guys want to make a breast joke? Bob, go ahead.
No.
Want to make your breast, your thighs?
Bobby's making me laugh.
No, yeah. I mean, it was now, all very from spatchcocking to, you know, breaking the backbone or, you know, whatever you do. It's all great. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Because you're a good, I know one of the things you're also really good at in all your videos, Matt, is all the sides and some of the other things, whether it be barbecuing or Thanksgiving or whatever else. So Let's say you screw up the turkey. What's your way to salvage it with a really good side? Because obviously we've got the standards like, oh, you got vegetables or stuff. Yeah. Us. What's like a really particular specialized side that you do?
Well, if possible, I would have the turkey on a higher rack so that you could catch the drippings to make turkey gravy. If you can't do that, then, you can still make gravy without the – you can take the parts from the turkey, like the backbone, the giblets, and different things that you cut out, and you can make stock with it, and you can make gravy and things like that. So turkey gravy is a must. And I've got all kinds of mashed potato recipes. That's a must. But to answer your question, I have a skillet – cornbread dressing on meatchurch.com that it can cook in a skillet alongside the turkey as the turkey's finishing, and it's lights out. I put like breakfast sausage in it, and it's really hearty, and people love that. It's kind of a rustic dish. It's not hard to make at all, and it's super good.
So in finishing the turkey, what's the Meat Church seasoning that you use, and why am I seeing mayo here?
Okay, so mayo is in this week's recipe because we slathered with it. Don't be afraid of mayonnaise. It's a light slather, but mayonnaise is basically a fat, and so that you're actually basting the turkey, kind of self-basting and kind of retaining some moisture with it. And then, you're not going to taste it at the end, by the way. And as far as seasonings go, crazy enough, we've got 8 that are popular, but today's video is our new hickory seasoning that we came out with, and when I took a bite of this turkey when we shot the video, I looked at my team and was like, this is what I'm doing this year. So that's kind of telling I loved that on turkey. But our honey hog and our voodoo are insanely popular on it. The new Hail Mary that came out is next week's video. It was really good on it, a little more savory. Any of our all-purpose rubs work. We actually have a whole section on our website called Turkey Supplies where we make this kit with a brine and a seasoning, and it's the 8 top seasonings for turkey to make it easy for people to find kind of what we recommend.
Hey, real quick, have you ever cooked guinea pig? And if not, what is the strangest thing you've ever cobbled up?
No, I've not cooked guinea pig. I raised those at junior high. That would be kind of weird. I've often said, this really isn't that weird, but it's just something I hadn't heard of. When I was in Sweden, I cooked reindeer, and I thought, man, if my kids knew I cooked reindeer, they'd never let me back in the house. But yeah, exactly. But I mean, it was just like cooking it was like cooking a big deer from here. It was really big, but it does sound kind of odd for sure.
It is a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman, and you're cooking the turkey till 165?
Oh, good. Yeah, great question. I'd like to go no more than 160 in the breast. It's going to carry over cook a little bit, kind of high 150s, 160 at the most. Look, we all grew up scarred. Like grandma or mom, somebody made the turkey in the oven. They all, relied on that little plastic pop-up thermometer in the breast. And those things don't pop till the 180s. So everything we had was dry growing up. So get an instant read thermometer, brine your turkey, and you will suddenly be the hero on Thanksgiving.
160. But that's not for the Thayer dark meat, though.
A little bit higher, and that's okay. It can take it. Just think about when you cook chicken wings. You can take those 185, 190, and it doesn't dry them out.
Yeah.
So it's like I just focus on getting the deepest part of the breast accurate, then I know the rest is going to be where it needs to be.
Awesome stuff, brother. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Matt Pittman, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys on the D&M Leasing Hotline with a Meat Church Wednesday. You don't love your football team enough if you think you deserve soap after the game. That's next and Below the Belt right here on The Fan.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine is the number one Chevy dealer in the world. More Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
Why do winners smell better than losers? More on that in just a second in Below the Belt, powered by A1 Air. But first, it's the middle of the week. People tend to drag on hump day.
Hump day.
Yeah, they tend to drag a little bit. If you need a pick-me-up, guaranteed to...
Line a blow.
Make your day better. Oh, even better than that. I want you to go to Twitter right now and search for the video of Caitlin Clark hitting a golf ball that Charlie just showed me
Bobby just died. Caitlin, extra points if you can get that on the fan.
Go to my Twitter. I put it up there. I reposted it.
Dear God. I thought you were showing me like an AI video of like a bit of like... Like you're gonna show me one of these deep fakes of like, oh look, it's made to look Caitlin Clark look tremendously unathletic and borderline dangerous to be within any vicinity of her swinging a golf club.
Caitlin topped one, rolled it over left, and took out about three or four grandparents.
But that's not the story to me. The story is how quickly her cold-blooded ass picked up the next ball.
Yeah.
To go ahead and swing. She didn't check. She didn't take steps over to the crowd. That is my biggest public sports nightmare, is teeing off of the gallery of people there.
She just re-teed.
Terrifying.
She re-teed and said, their breakfast ball. Here we go.
She re-teed in 2 seconds.
Because she knows that even if that's her shot, like ESPN's going to cover it as like, look at how far she's brought women that she can swing like this.
Still going to get better ratings than Major League Baseball.
Why don't you explain what the breaking news was that stopped you down here in the commercial break?
They throw up here. Chop, I don't know if you saw it. I had to stop Sean walking out of the... I was like, hold on, you got to look, because it said breaking news on ESPN.
Because yesterday the breaking news was Bears offensive coordinator fired.
Yeah, which we're going to get to that here in just a second. But you see, breaking news. So I'm like, what's the breaking news? And I look over here. This is like top of the hour stuff. This was 8 a.m., all right? Top of the hour. They had to break in to breaking news, announce the new professional women's lacrosse league in the United States.
All right. The NPSW. They have
dug in so much, and they are stuck now.
Yeah, they overplayed it. They overplayed their WNBA hand.
Like, do you ever feel like...
And now they're stuck.
In the dating process, did you ever feel like... You maybe screwed up and like leaned into a trade or something that was like maybe kind of a fib, and then you're just like, I'm stuck like kind of pretending to be this person now for a little bit until I can clarify. Yeah. And that's what basically ESPN has done.
Breaking
is now they're
stuck. The women's professional lacrosse.
All right, let's talk about Shane Waldron, since we just made that reference there. Shane Waldron, the Bears offensive coordinator, fired in the middle of the season. He had come over from the Seattle Seahawks, and so this clip was getting passed around, a little bit of a viral clip of Rockwall's own Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who is now with the Seattle Seahawks, former Ohio State receiver. He was getting interviewed back at Super Bowl and was asked about Shane Waldron and got a little uncomfortable.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Stop it. All right, this is my guy Mark Carmen from Fansided. Listen to him first before that. Is this live? Listen to him go, oh. All right, the stuttering, the stammering, the pause, oh. And then, is this live? Hit it, Peyton. No, from the beginning.
This is live?
Oh, wait, my bad. I messed it up.
I'm playing.
Stop it. My bad. I messed it up. Go ahead, play it again. I'm sorry.
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live.
I'm playing. Good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person, great offensive coordinator. I was very lucky to have him my first year. Learned a lot from him. I think him and Justin will mesh well. And, adding more guys around him, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Good luck to y'all.
Boy, that's what you guys always say about Dak. Whenever anybody says, tell us about Dak, and they're like, hey, great leader. great person.
And then at the end, we'll see.
Yeah. When he says the good luck to y'all, that is that's athlete speak for bless your heart.
That's so good.
All right, so this let's talk about why winners smell better than losers. This is typically an NFL segment, but this is still football, and this is football guy to the core.
Absolutely.
If it's true, I need to know if our judgment here is that this is a genuine Joe Mazzulla psycho type of opinion, or is this guy just talking trash and basically doing a character and not breaking? But this is the head coach of the Syracuse Orange, and Peyton has it down here on the thing as Fred Brown, but it's Fran Brown, I believe, is the head coach at Syracuse. So this is Syracuse coach Fran Brown this week talking about why he smells awful when they lose football games.
Honestly, I got like a ritual. Like when we lose, I ain't even getting a shower till early this morning. I just be mad. I just brush my teeth. But it's like I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on like trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it. You know, I just wake up all night, especially when you lose. You like wake up like, damn, it really happened. You know, it really happened that way. So it's just different pieces. And then I just move on. There's a process that I follow every week, win, lose, or draw. Only thing is, like, my wife, I can't sleep in the bed if we lose because I ain't going to get in the shower for that day. I'm just mad, and I just sit there. I just brush my teeth. That's what I have to do so y'all won't say my breath stink, but I'm just kind of locked in at certain things, certain ways. I think you gotta earn the right to do certain things. So,
oh my God.
You know, winners get washed. You know what I'm saying? I'm a loser. I just kind of waited a little bit.
Who is this?
This is Fran Brown, the head coach of Syracuse.
It's unhinged.
This is G-Bag of the Day. I need to be knocked out. We need to be knocked out for the Jerry interview. And that needs to be a t-shirt right now. I guarantee you, Dave Portnoy at Barstool.
Winners get washed.
Winners get washed.
That's amazing.
Did he say washed or winners get washed? Either one's awesome.
Yeah.
Winners get washed. That's cool. Did he put an ED on it, Pepe?
No, winners get washed.
Winners get washed. That's even better.
This is amazing. Like, you know, if you did a blind test, you didn't know what this guy did for a living. You had no idea what he did for a living. And you just said, who would say losers don't deserve soap and only winners get washed? It would take you maybe two guesses before you said football coach.
Yes.
And I think the only other one would be like lacrosse coach. Like
Joe Mazzulla.
Women's lacrosse.
This would be a Joe Mazzulla quote.
Yeah.
I feel like Mazzulla would say, yeah, I didn't deserve soap last night because we played so poorly.
and that's on me.
I don't deserve soap. Like,
but someone has to start an investigation now into the program to see what the players are deprived of. This would make Bear Bryant blush with what he's probably not giving these kids.
Do you think
when
he's
they
sincere?
Stink or they lose?
Do you think he's sincere?
Yes.
Or do you think he's just doing it? It seems very sincere.
He was
sincere.
Really detailed. He talked about the wife, you can't sleep in the bed.
Right.
I think he's 100% being legit.
I absolutely do. Like, you talk about the bad breath. You got to brush your teeth because the bad breath. But, like, this guy, I mean, look, at least he's depriving himself of a shower and not, like, toilet paper. It's like none of that, right? It could be worse.
Yeah, but
this
still,
is pretty bad.
Winners get washed. All right, let's wrap
Camden,
up here.
New Jersey.
I know. I was dying to see, please. Like him and Mazzulla went to the same school or something.
He followed Matt Rhule to Baylor.
Yeah, he was a Matt Rhule, which Matt Rhule's always been Temple tough. Like that's his whole character.
I guess
he had it worked there.
What does that mean? You're 1-10?
Yeah, exactly. All right, we've got a couple of quick Steelers notes here.
That'll need attended services.
Mike Williams took a shot at Aaron Rodgers after he caught the game winning touchdown against the Washington Commanders on Sunday. He had an image of him celebrating in the end zone. He posted on his Instagram and he said, thankful, hashtag whole lotta, hashtag we back, hashtag red line. It's like, well, what's red line? What does that mean? Turns out the red line hashtag was a jab at Aaron Rodgers, who called out Mike Williams after a Jets loss in October. Rodgers said after a Monday night loss against the Bills, there's two verticals, Alan Lazard's down the seam and Mike's down the red line, so I'm throwing a no look to the red line. When I peek my eyes back, there's Mike running an in-breaker, gotta be down the red line. So Mike Williams with a little bit of shade thrown at Aaron Rodgers. This has been a bad year for the Aaron Rodgers mystique.
Yes.
Not just him playing, but just his in general, his command and who he is as a teammate. It's been a bad year for him. And then over on the Steelers side, that's the receiver that they acquired. Let's talk about the one they sent away, Deontay Johnson.
This is cold-blooded.
This is, and I think it's, again, one of those things, it reads worse than it sounds, but it still doesn't sound great. Mike Tomlin yesterday, in his press conference ahead of Steelers versus Ravens, with Deontay Johnson out the door now, playing for the Ravens, Mike Tomlin was asked about, hey, what have you seen from Deontay Johnson over there with the Baltimore Ravens on tape so far?
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed, you know, what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
Damn!
That is
three shots.
So harsh, yeah. That was like a 16-second clip. Hit playback page. I got to count the number of shots taken here.
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. One. He's not on a lot of their video, and so
that's great.
You know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed, you know, what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
That's four pretty decent shots. That Deontay Johnson, man, and George Pickens has been a headache for that football team.
Yeah.
And they still deal with him.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown, a headache for forever. For Tomlin to clearly be so fed up, Deontay Johnson must have just been a pain.
By the way, one more thing while I'm thinking about it, on the soap topic, Trump's new Secretary of Defense?
Pete Hegseth.
Was that the guy that was on Fox?
Mm-hmm.
There's a clip of him going around. He said he has not washed his hands in 10 years.
Yep.
He said there's germs. I don't see them, so they don't exist. I've basically have not washed my hands in 10 years.
So even after
what's worse than that? That or that? I don't know the follow-up question they asked about the poop. remember Roy said?
Yeah, Roy didn't always do that, right? After he pooped?
Yeah. Not every single time?
Not every single time.
Something like
why?
That.
Why?
Because he said he didn't get any on his fingers, I guess.
How often is it getting on your fingers? That's not like, that's is disgusting. That a common occurrence?
Depends how thin the paper
how
is.
You do. I mean, the way I do it, I mean, I better get it all over there.
Yeah, so not washing hands for 10 years or that's not showering after the game.
10 I think years
the
10 is years.
Worse. The 10 years. I mean, the amount of like,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to have his hands are
chicken wing nails.
Oh, they're going to be disgusting. Like, I look at my dad's hands.
Well, but he's.
Yeah, I understand it. But I'm saying that's only 2 years. Yeah. Can you imagine eight more?
Yeah. Ugh. So you'll trim his no hairs, but not give him a manicure.
I'm not touching those hands.
Give him a manicure.
I'm not touching those hands.
877-81-1053. That is Below the belt here on DFW Sports Station. Let's talk about Klay Thompson's return to Golden State. Final hour, hump day edition. Okay. Next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.